Pastor and Bible scholar Eugene Peterson said this: "Friendship is a much underestimated aspect of spirituality. It's every bit as significant as prayer and fasting. Friendship takes what's common in human experience and turns it into something holy." You know, we think of things that are spiritual or intense, like prayer, and that is, or fasting, which is going without food so we have more time for prayer. But we normally don't think about friendships as something that is intensely deep and spiritual. And it is. See, real friendships are not about the surface of life. Real friendships are about the inner core of life. What's going on deep down inside. And when you start messing with each other's lives or doing life with one another and speaking truth to people and loving on one another, there is a holy substance to it that touches the deepest core of our beings. This is why Henry Ford, though he didn't probably realize the spiritual intensity of what he said this. He said, "My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me." You know, and we start being the best person we can be. We start trending towards having the life that God originally designed us to have. And there's four elements, four real tangible elements that are a part of every real relationship. And I'm going to go through those here. And you can, just in your mind or in your program, if you want to put a little check on these as a checkbox to say, yes, I have this one with people. I have this one with people. This makes it really clear whether or not you're doing life with people and whether or not you have the kind of real friendships that I think we all need and really that we all want, though we not know it, may not know it right now. The first thing is authenticity. Authenticity. The ability to be real. The ability to let people see us for who we are. It's the decision we make to not play games. I don't know if you've done much reading in other religious material or other spiritual scriptures of other world religions, but there is significant differences between the Bible and other world religions literature. A lot of them. One of the most significant ones, in my opinion, is that the Bible stands alone in allowing the heroes or the characters in the Bible to be seen as authentic people. When you take a look at other spiritual literature that's written, all the heroes of other religions tend to be these higher, mightier than thou, iconoclastic people that we can't relate to and never make any mistakes. Then you look at the Bible, you look at Adam and Eve, and they're, you know, not communicating well, and they're being a bit selfish, and the guy by the name of Noah, who didn't just build a big ark, but was really a bad father, and had some real warts in his family life, and it goes on to a guy named King David, and he had, you know, this huge, great king, supposedly has adulterous affair, and a guy by the name of Apostle Paul, and he's actually been a murderer, and you got people who are gossips, and you got people who are just dealing with insecurities. I mean, it just lays it out there. Because the Bible has a high value of being authentic and saying it is not admirable to pretend that you're somebody that you're not. That's why around here, one of the hills that we die on is a hill of authenticity, the church. We say we will be authentic. We will be real. Even Jesus, you know, though he's not committing sins because he's the Son of God, you see him being real and expressing anger and overturning tables one time when people are ripping people off in the context of worship. And you see him weeping when a close friend of his dies. And as a person who is actually, you know, if you think about it, you know, I'm a professional Christian. You know, I'm like paid to be good, whereas, you know, you're good for nothing. You know, where I'm paid to be good. You know, I had to make a decision a long time ago to say, I try to purport the myth that I, you know, have everything together and I'm up in the high ivory tower. And, you know, decided a long time ago, no, I won't. One of the reasons why I don't wear religious artifacts or robes that I could and I'm qualified to wear, because it communicates I'm different. You know, I'm holy, mighty. And just for me, I decided, no, I'm not going to do it. I want to be real. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm as real with you as I am with other people. Because as being authentic, we never erect barriers or play games, but we need to be wise in how we reveal ourselves to one another. And believe me, you can't take 100% revelation of who I am. You can't, you know, you can't. There's some people who get it, but you don't want it, probably. And, you know, if you meet somebody for the first time in the atrium, and you don't want them to give you 100% revelation either. You know, there's a level of wisdom. And you know, when you're around somebody who's always talking about other people, you need to be wise and say, I need to be careful what I reveal, because in all likelihood, they're going to be talking about me with other people. Being authentic doesn't mean that we don't use our brain and put modificating behavior behavior in there, but it means that we say, I will make the choice to not play games with people. And the more personal somebody is to me and the more intense our friendship is, the more I will reveal and get down to what life is really about. Second core element for real friendships is affirmation. Affirmation. Book of Proverbs says this. Here's what it says. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. The Bible talks about bitterness, and we're angry with people, that it rots the bones. And here it talks about when we give affirming words or sweet, pleasant words to each other, it actually builds us internally. It's sweetness to the soul. Is it Mark Twain that said, I can live an entire month on one compliment? You know, affirmation does something to us, and real friends affirm. See, there's a difference between being friends and acquaintances. You know, acquaintances or people who are just around you, it's hard to affirm, because to affirm means that I believe in you and I want to see you excel. I want to see you succeed. And most people are too insecure to see other people succeed. They really are. It's like, if you go down to the shore where they catch crabs, not with people who have crabs, but people who catch crabs. You know, you go down, and if they got one crab, they'll put it in the bottom of the bucket, and they'll have to put a lid on the top of the bucket or on the top of the container there, because the crab will obviously crawl out. Well, you know, if they have two crabs or more than one crab, they don't need to put a lid on top of the container, because it is inherent with crabs to grab the one who's trying to climb up and pull it back down. And see, so a lot of us just have dysfunctional acquaintanceships or dysfunctional relationships where that's what people do. They don't cheer us on. They want to pull us back, because they're threatened by us becoming the best people we can be. That's why the Bible says something like, blessed are those who mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Who can't mourn with those who mourn? You know, someone's hurt and we all sit in the bottom of the bucket. Oh, woe is us. Oh, I'm so sorry. But it's a whole different thing to see someone climbing, earning more money, dating better people, having nicer things, having character qualities developed in here, and for us to go, oh, I'm so excited for you. Go. It's fantastic what God's doing. You're like, great. Only a real friend can do that. And very few of us have real friends who can do that, because they're too insecure and they can't affirm. Proverbs 15:23 says this. This is all wisdom sayings that comes from the book of Proverbs in the Bible. They're just wise things to incorporate in our lives. And it is a wise thing to get a handle on this thing called friendship. A man or woman finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Sometimes timely words speak to something that we need affirmed. Sometimes timely words say something that just takes us out of the mire of the moment. Sometimes timely words don't feel that great. Sometimes timely words kind of touch something internally and it hurts. And this is the third mark. It's what's called accountability. This is great. You got to love when you have, you know, outlines that all start with the same letter A. You got to love that. You know, I thought maybe I should have one that said friend, but instead I got four A's for you. Accountability. Accountability. You know, a guy goes to the doctor. He says to the doctor, Doctor, I've got some real problems. The doctor said, what's the problem? He said, well, see, I've got these problems with what I call silent gas emissions. And it's a real problem. In fact, I've had three of them while I've been here. Can you help me? And the doctor says, well, yeah, but the first thing we've got to do is check your hearing. That's a nice little, you know, funny little word of accountability. Sometimes accountability is something that's spoken to us that we didn't know about ourselves, that somebody else has noticed, and now we're having to deal with this. Proverbs 27:6 says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now, friends don't seek out to wound. Friends don't seek out to hurt, but what friends do is they offer words of truth. They try to hold us accountable, and when that happens, it's normally something we don't know about or don't want to deal with, and it touches the core of our being, and it's so tender in there, no one goes there, that we actually sometimes get bruised. We get wounded. It's a good wound. It's a good bruise, but we weren't expecting it, and we just go, ooh, ow. And that's what real friends do. Real friends do that. But what does an enemy do? Multiplies kisses. enemy flatters. You see, if you're in a relationship and all somebody is doing is telling you how great you are, that's not affirmation, that's flattery. And if you're in a relationship where all someone's doing is calling things out in your life, that's not accountability, that's battery. You know, there's a difference between flattery and affirmation and accountability and battery. And the truth is, real friendships, there's high affirmation. And if you have high affirmation and you have high accountability, what you get is true growth. What you get is high growth. What you get is going to a place that you couldn't have gone on your own. Because it's a risk to give a wound. It's a risk to go out on a limb and say something that you sense somebody might not notice or might hurt them. And the last element that I want to talk about is assistance. Assistance. This is the byproduct of everything that's happened before. And the book of Proverbs puts it this way. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. They're using the word brother or sister here as a metaphor for friend and saying the kind of friend that affirms, holds people accountable, is authentic. That kind of friend is like blood, and they were born for adversity. They were born to be there in the midst of the hard times. You know, we come to a place in our life where no government program can help us. No self-help seminar is going to help us. No, you know, counseling session is going to help us. There's certain things that only true friends can assist us in. I have numerous examples in my life. I remember when our house burned down a number of years ago, and we lost everything we owned, and we didn't have renter's insurance. You know, it was our friends who assisted and helped us and helped us come through it. You know, today, I look to my friends for assistance in submitting to their wisdom because I realize they have insights that I don't have. And so if it's a major thing like a move or a major purchase, or even if it's a small thing like somebody has offended me or somebody has annoyed me and I'm not sure how to respond to that, I'll go and say, here's the situation. What do you think? And I want to submit to their wisdom because I need them to assist me because I realize that my mind isn't operating properly at that moment. Now, this is the kind of stuff that happens in real friendships. See, for most of us, we only have, you know, drinking buddies. We only have acquaintances because drinking buddies are threatened when these things start to happen. I remember when I was 15 years old and I became a follower of Christ or a Christian. I came to a point where I said, it's not good enough just going to church anymore. I need to really devote myself to who God is and honor Him. And one of the things I realized I needed to do is I needed to stop getting wasted at parties. So I realized not only is getting wasted bad, but, you know, underage drinking just can't happen. And so I stopped doing underage drinking. And I found out real quickly who my drinking buddies were and who my friends were. Drinking buddies were threatened. You know, they couldn't handle that. And I actually got, you know, shunned. I actually was made fun of. I was put down. And then there were other people who didn't necessarily like what I did, weren't ready to do it for themselves, but they're friends, and then we continued doing life with one another, and they were challenged by me, I was challenged by them, and I found out who was a real friend and who was simply a buddy. Now, all this stuff is helpful information, but you know what? Helpful information isn't good enough. You know, I don't know about you, but I got enough information in my life. I mean, I think that if I got no more information at all, I'd be fine, because there's a huge thing, difference between getting information and then actually having inner life transformation. And I really can't help us be transformed in this area by giving you any more information. I can't, you know, forget giving you more Bible verses or more quotes or more pithy illustrations, you know. Information only goes so far. And I want us to all come to a place where there's inner transformation, there's transformation in our relationships, and I'm ill-equipped to do this on my own. And so I actually want to bring up some friends of mine, some personal friends of mine, to help us all on this journey. So I'll bring them up and go ahead and welcome these guys on stage. It's the first time they've been up here. Now, these guys are some people that I'm real with. And, you know, there's different levels of relationships that we have and different levels of intimacy. And these are some people that I do life with. There's other people that are on staff here that I have intense relationships with. There's other people who don't even go to this church that I have great friendships with. But these are some guys that we've been doing life with one another. And Why don't we introduce someone? Actually, let's go to the first guy, who is Mike. Mike, are you there? Mike's coming to us live via satellite. There he is. Hi, Mike. Good to see you. There he is, coming live via satellite. And actually, he's not. We're kidding around there. We, reason we want to put Mike up there is we said he's a single guy who's having a friend of his get married, and he's down at the marriage in Miami, and we realized that we can't really do this and get real without Mike as a part of us, and so that's as close as we could come with Mike being with us. So that's Mike, and let's go ahead in the end, give it a little introduction.
My name is Michael Croce, and I've had a friendship with Brian for about maybe 3 years, almost 2.5 years. Actually started in the front seat of your car.
It wasn't the back seat.
Yes, it was not the back seat, yeah. You like hitting that line, don't you?
My name is Brian Wellage, and I've been a friend of Brian's just coming up on a year.
I'm Bob Schmidt. I'm a friend of Brian's through Michael. About a year and a half ago, he introduced us.
I'm Steve Adams, and I've been friends with Brian now for two and a half years, and there's a point in time in my life where I was really having some struggles, and Brian came through and really helped me out a lot. It was a great blessing and got me with these guys here.
We get together every Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. and we peel back the veneer on life and we go deep. We read the Bible together. We do some praying together, and a lot of it is just saying, let's be real with one another. And we're just hoping that you can learn from a little bit of our experience and our learnings as we've kind of had friendships with one another. Because we've seen all of these different things on one level or another. Let's just kind of go through them. Authenticity. What's some of our learnings been on authenticity?
When Michael asked me to be in the group about a year and a half ago, I was having a nice life. I mean, everything's going great at work, and family life is fine, and everything on the surface is fine. But I knew there were some things, you know, deep inside of me that I wasn't being authentic with myself or Christ or really anybody else. So I felt that there was, I didn't know if I really wanted to be vulnerable with other people, because I really couldn't even be vulnerable with myself. So it was a struggle for me to accept the invitation, but when I did, I realized that it brought me to another level. And it made me it made me a better person, and it makes me a better person on my day-to-day journey as I move forward toward Christ. But and I know that journey's never over, but at least it got me to be much more authentic.
It actually freaked you out, didn't it, at first?
Yeah, it did. It did, actually, because there aren't a lot of people. Like you said, I mean, I got a lot of attaboy buddies, and, you know, everything's great, and, you know, life is good, and let's go golfing, and we never talk about anything really substantial. But this group on Monday mornings is what gets me gets below my surface and deep into my heart. Hmm.
And when we're authentic, there's things that we've got to decide to voluntarily bring forward and being real. And don't want to put you on the spot, but be real with us right now, Steve.
Well, with authenticity, one of the things that's great about this group is, you know, we cannot do these meetings without being authentic. There's nothing surface at these meetings. And when we can sense when someone is holding out, and we'll go right to them and say, hey, what's going on? You know, fess up here. You're not being the same. You're not being normal. All in the same time, recognizing, and it's, sometimes it's me, and I know that because this is a group where we're helping each other out, we're trying to follow Christ, where I know if I'm really trying to follow Christ and build relationships, I got to share. And it really brings out the authenticity, because you get down to the deep issues that you don't want people to know about, and you're embarrassed about yourself, and you share that. And it's painful sometimes, and we've all shared that pain. But in the end, it's an incredible blessing, because we build each other up. And the issues that we talk about, I know that the folks out in the audience have the same problems with as well. And fortunately, we have this group where we can share that information.
Yeah, you got, speaking of A words, you got an A word going on in your life.
It's called anger. And these guys all counsel me on that, and I'm coming along, but I still have a lot in me, and it's not necessarily vocal. A lot of it is fortunately constructive in that I am very competitive. I'm a lawyer, so I like arguing in court. I can get away with the anger. I like triathlon, so I get out there and try to kick ass and kick everybody else's ass. And
you're getting angry just right now.
Exactly.
Just,
that
was not the A word I was thinking of. Right.
Even though I have those feelings, I know that I have to tone it down, because one of the purposes of this group is that we get together not just to be friends, but to grow with Christ together. And I recognize that, you know, whatever talents I have, I need to use them to honor God, not to just kick ass. But so.
Okay, good. That's authentic, Steve. That's good. in the midst of that authenticity, sometimes we beat ourselves up, and one of the things that I enjoy most about it is just being able to come and offer words of affirmation. And sometimes I know you've felt down about things, or all of us have, but there's a word of, hey, you're doing good, you're doing good. Anything that reminds you of that, or any specific situation you can think of for that?
Well, I can share just, you know, I don't think there's a meeting that goes by that, you know, some pretty heavy issues are laid on the table and things are bared, and there's a lot of emotion that surrounds that. But once, you know, once we leave the breakfast meeting, we're back out, you know, doing life, our careers, with our family. Later that same day, I'll get a phone call from every one of these guys, you know, kind of circling back to make sure that, you know, that I'm affirmed, that, you know, hey, I appreciate you sharing that, man. Are you okay? Are you, you know, I just, you know, that really helped me out, and you're real. You're not a monster. So that's important.
When we talk about the group, it's really not, the group is just a mechanism or a system or a function to help the real relationship takes place. And that's what, so when we talk about the group, what we're really talking about is that, that time that's part of our having a real relationship where we actually get real with one another. And Brian, you know, your situation, I think, is a just give people a little bit of your journey about how you actually got into friendship with us.
We meet at the Echo every morning, or Monday morning at 6:30, and I pretty much eat breakfast there every morning during the week. And kind of like Norm at Cheers, I sit on the corner seat. These guys always come walking by. How you doing? How you doing? And I thought they're just there for, you know, successful whatever business meeting, guys getting together. And over time, I realized that, you know, sometimes they're carrying a Bible, and I started to wonder what was going on, and I realized they get together every Monday morning to talk about life and try to grow spiritually. And this about a year ago, I guess, just a lot of stuff in my life is going on, friends pulling me in one direction, different group taking me in another, and just a lot of things and issues that, you know, I was ready to make a step towards, you know, spirituality and growth again, because I hadn't been to church in 10 years. These guys then give me the invite to be a part of their group, which was something very special, and has pretty much changed my life for the better.
Yeah. One of the things that we've had as part of our thing is identifying friends that we really want to see come to know Christ, and we actually pray for those people every day. And I remember challenging you, Michael, because we passed by you at the breakfast bar there, and you know, you were just out there, man. And it's like, hey, what about Brian? He looks like he's just kind of attracted to something. We ought to, you know, pray about that. And you've been a huge blessing, man. Just the level of warmth and reality to our friendship. I've been personally blessed by it. I mean, one of the things that's good for me with these guys is I can come, and they're not on staff, they're not official leaders of our church or anything like that, and I could come And I'm always a pastor, but I can come and just be a normal guy, and I can bounce things off of them as just normal people, and they have a unique perspective on those things that other people don't. In fact, I was telling Brian just last night, I got something I want to talk to you about tomorrow. It's kind of a rough thing for me I'm trying to navigate through, and you being just average people is going to be a real, real blessing for me. But sometimes there's just a really warm, good, lovey-dovey stuff that happens, and sometimes there's the accountability that is not so comfortable, and we experience that quite frequently.
Yeah, actually, when Mike and I talked a little bit, getting into the group, I was, like I said, I was very hesitant because I had some things going on in my life that really I wasn't proud of, or, you know, still not proud of. But
by the way, let me stop you for a minute. We're not being evasive with some things. Like when we start talking about some things or this or that, it's that we have to be wise in how authentic we are up here. There has been intense stuff that it's just not appropriate to share from up here. So we're going to give some examples, but we're not trying to, you know, mislead or be evasive. It's just that we've been so real with one another that you really couldn't handle it, frankly, and it wouldn't be fair to anybody to know that. So just realize we're not playing games with you. We're just trying to be wise and protecting what's been happening in people's lives. So,
well, I think the interesting thing
and
is...
And you especially! No, I'm kidding.
I think everybody probably can relate to this, but I really felt that I was an island of my own, that what I have going on, nobody else has going on in their life. It was something that was refreshing to me when I got into the group because, you know, well, first of all, the guys that are my age, like you guys, and then I'm thinking, oh, my God, Brian, he's a pastor. He's probably lily white. He's got nothing. And I'm thinking, I got gold seats in hell compared to these guys, you know. But after we got into it, I realized that was not the case, that the things that I'm dealing with and struggling with and the challenges I have on a day-to-day basis are the same things that these guys, as probably as most of the people out there, have. And it was great for me to become vulnerable and to talk about those things and to get support from the group, but, you know, just being accountable for the actions that I have done and am doing in my life is it's a check that I have to have. And the funniest story, I think, was when Brian came in one day and he was moping through the Echo and, you know, shoulders dragging on the ground, and comes in and after about 10 minutes, he goes, "You guys, I got to come clean. I'm there's something really weighing heavy on my heart, and I have to really become accountable with you, and I have to go over this because I really, it's bothering me so much." And we're kind of like elbowing each other, thinking, oh my God, this is like a 3-count felony. This is going to be huge, you know? It ended up being some kind of deal where, you know, he said he told some guy he didn't smoke a cigarette when he smoked the cigar, and it was some little white lie like that. And I'm looking at him like, oh my God, I'm dead. That's all it is. but it was good because that was something that was really bothering you, and it was something that was bothering you so much that you had to talk about it, and it was a level of vulnerability and accountability that you had to have.
Yeah, and the key thing is I know some people who believe in accountability, and what they mean is it's your responsibility to keep me accountable. It's your responsibility to have me grow. No, that's not what it is. It's my responsibility to grow, and that means I confess. I voluntarily confess, and me voluntarily confessing to people, you can then hold me accountable and help me to that. And we've had a lot of, you know, voluntary confession of things much more significant than that, myself included. That's just part of being a real friend. We've been trying to hold you accountable to something, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
Until that story. And we've agreed on this one, so I'm not putting him in a bad spot.
About a year ago, I had a hearing in court, and after the hearing, I had a few choice words for a particular witness in that hearing.
Did it include an A word?
Actually, an F word. But anyway, it was an inappropriate place for that type of conduct, even though I really believed in what I had to say. But in any event, it came back to bite me in the butt.
That's good. That's a good word. You've grown. You've grown just in the midst of this service. That's good.
And I talked to my friends in the group about this situation and what was going on, and I ended up getting counseled to write an apology letter. And I did, and I addressed it to this particular person, put a stamp on it. But unfortunately, it's still in my drawer at home. I've not yet mailed it, and these guys give me grief about it all the time. But not grief, but they ask me about it, and they know I haven't mailed it yet, and maybe someday I will. But
you will.
Okay, I will. But what's interesting about this story is that we all have grown. I have not grown in that aspect, but I'm working on it. And, you know, anger and this is a big issue with me. And, you know, it's sometimes not easy to deal with. And, you know, we all grow and we learn and we keep trying.
Let's talk assistance for a little bit.
I can start there. You know, this group has provided an arena where you can be safe, you can be vulnerable, and the last year and a half have been an incredible transition for me personally. Kind of realizing, you know, through my growth in faith that my priorities were way out of whack, that my career was up here and my family and everything else took a back seat. And, you know, my relationship with my kids was suffering, my marriage. And I think, you know, personally, I would have self-imploded if I'd not had a group of friends that I could talk with one-on-one, you know, meeting with Bob, Brian, Mike for lunch, dealing with issues that I've got and how to move through them. You know, people going out of their way in busy schedules. Steve Adams, you know, comes over to my house at 6 a.m. in the morning to, you know, console me, to help me through some issues that I didn't have the capacity to do. That kind of assistance, I think, you know, has allowed me to evolve and has fully changed my life. I'm in a new career, and I can't tell you how good things are right now. And I think it's a direct result of what's going on with this friendship.
The fact of the matter is that we need each other. And Mike, you still there with us in Miami? Mike, where? Oh, he left. He must have found somebody as a single guy and just kind of gone away. But actually, with Mike, we're not obviously diverse in terms of age or ethnicity, but when you peel back the veneer and you look at what the inner stuff, there's a lot of diversity that's actually underneath the situation. And Mike is a single guy. That level of diversity has really helped us because we've been able to challenge him on choices he was making, on, you know, things he was doing in the midst of dating relationships, and he's had great perspective speaking to us as a person who isn't married, to give us nuggets of wisdom or timely words that he had some really fresh perspective on. And the level of assistance, sometimes it's counsel, sometimes it's affirmation, sometimes it's much more harder core, nitty-gritty tragedy kind of stuff.
It's my turn.
Yes,
yes, it is. Yeah, I guess I've been with the group, I guess, I don't know how long it's been, but in the beginning I was there dealing with issues myself, and it's since taken another role. About 16 weeks ago I had a little boy with a heart defect, and through these guys, they've been their assistance in ways I can't describe, but one I will describe is an instance where Steve Adams called one evening about 6 o'clock and said, you know, hey, we'd like to come over tonight, bring you guys some dinner, you know, we know you've been real busy and whatever, and I said, Steve, I said, we appreciate it. I said, but everybody's bringing us food, and our freezer and fridge are literally full. We can't shut it. And I said, but I do appreciate it. And, you know, I thought that was that. And we put the 3-year-old, 2-year-old to bed, and about 9, a little after 9, somebody's at our door, and I'm thinking, who the heck's here at 9 o'clock at night? It was Steve. And he's standing out there with a brown bag, and I'm thinking, oh, God, he brought food anyhow. And so I said, well, he said, can I come in? I said, sure. And comes in and sits down and said, you know, he said, I stopped off and I brought a couple things for you, and he pulled out a couple books, and the first one was, you know, when God doesn't make sense. And he said, you know, I read this one, it's a good book, it helped me through some times when things just don't seem to make sense for you. And he pulled out another one, looked at it and said, you know, I didn't read this one, it just looked good. And, you know, it was just kind of like, I'm sitting there looking at him just like overwhelmed, thinking, you know what, this is amazing that he took 2.5 hours. I mean, I literally forgot about it. 2.5 hours later, I'm thinking, you know what? He's been sitting at the bookstore looking for some way to get us through this, you know. And it was just very touching. And it's something that, you know, be with us forever. And, yeah, they all have assisted immensely, but that's just one instant. So.
You know, we just can't, you know, we cannot do this thing called life without being together and having, you know, authentic, real relationships. Probably the most enjoyable time for us is coming down towards the very end of our times. I mean, from 6:30 to 8. And those are just some of the sweetest times for us. Why is that, do you think? What happens?
Let me finish.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this obviously before, and for me, you know, being a part of this group, dealing with issues or whatever, at the end of every meeting, it's not, hey, you know, have a good week, see you later. It's sincere hugs that each and every one of us give to each other, and you can feel that, and it's something you don't get on a day-to-day basis from friends, whoever it may be, even family to a certain degree, because, you know, our parents or whatever, I mean, my parents I have a good relationship with, a lot of people don't have that, but when you walk out of those meetings, you know genuinely that you've, you know, shared stuff in your life that these people genuinely take to heart and are willing to be there for you, even though they may disagree with what you're doing. But the meeting's end, everybody hugs, and, you know, we're in a restaurant, people look at us like, you know, what are these guys doing back there? But, you know, it's, you know, 'cause we sit in our back room by ourselves that early in the morning, but it's one of those things, you know what? I mean, our veneer's down, we don't care. You know, it's who we are, and that's, I think that's what makes this a special thing, so.
Any closing thoughts that you have?
I just suggest if people out there don't have a person or one or two really, really, really good soulmates that they can share things with, that you're on a path of destruction. Because I'm telling you, you just can't shoulder the burden yourself. You can't do it. I thought I could, and I couldn't. And I found out after meeting these guys that, you know, there's a lot of people that are in my boat that need a helping hand, and it's only people that you can get real with, I mean, really vulnerable with, and have something come back to them and yourself that you can share important things with. That's the only way to get through that, and you know, your relationship with God. And it's been the best thing I've ever done, and we talk about it all the time. It's the best thing we've ever done as a group, is just get to know each other on a real personal basis.
I want to add something I didn't add yesterday. We just, you know, talking about the group, there was a time that I remember, you know, that I just started feeling as a part of it, and someone in the group was missing a few weeks ago. I don't want to mention a name of which one, but they were missing. We're going, anybody know what's going on, what's happening? And we were very concerned about the person and wondering why. Well, it ended up being only because they thought that they weren't doing their part, they weren't reading the Bible, they weren't whatever. And I, for one, you know, I turn to these guys more than the Bible. I started to read the Bible, and I'm getting more involved. But it was something where, like, you know what? We don't feel as a group without this person with us, and it just didn't seem right. And we're like, hey, that's not why we're here. We're not here just for that. We're here for each other, for everybody. And, you know, the person, you know, came back and has been there since, and we've, you know, it's weird. It's weird when only, like, up here, like, that's why we had Mike on there. It's weird when there's just us and somebody's missing, you know, and being that we're all busy, we all try to make it Monday morning early, because that's usually when you're in town or if you're traveling, but it's important to have everybody, and every one of our meetings ends with a hug, a genuine hug that you know that what you've just shared in your life is in this group and in this group only, but yet, you know, it's meaningful. It's not a, hey, see you later, take it easy, good seeing you. Like it is with your other friends and all the friends I have. It's like, hey, how you doing? And it's ending, standing up. And it's not just hugging one guy. Everybody, it's, you know, and this is in public. And it's something that men don't do, you know. Or I should say men don't do enough of.
Well, let me try to tie some things up here as we get ready to close this out. A few things for you. First of all, You know, you might be sitting there going, I want that. I want that. And someone should give that to me. I hope Crossroads enables that to happen for me. And we just found here as a church that that doesn't happen that way. There wasn't any official program that we followed. We didn't, you know, follow some administrative system. We just connected with each other and started doing life with one another. And we actually, as a church, have stopped trying to mix and match people. We used to have people call up and say, hey, I want to be in a small group, and will you match me up? And we have 8 people we tried who hadn't met before, and they try to get them together. And we just found out it didn't work. There were some rare exceptions, but it didn't work because there's got to be a base level of affinity. There's another A word. Base level of affinity and connection. And so I just encourage you to start looking around in here, maybe people who don't go here, and just say, who is it I can do life with that I can get with? And then if, as you get together and you find out that there's a person who emerges as a leader, as a facilitator, you can contact us and we can give that person some leadership training and some help to kind of walk that whole process through. I'd also encourage you to realize that everybody up here is a work in process. Do not think that everybody up here, myself included, is the ultimate standard of what it means to be a God-honoring person. Everyone's a work in process. So just give all of us the grace for that. And also give us the grace by respecting the level of privacy that these folks need to have. And it's a big risk to come up in front of thousands of eyes and just kind of bare your soul. If you want to encourage them, go ahead and encourage them. But don't think that these people have said something and maybe they can solve your problem or help you. They're not equipped for that, and they can't take that onslaught. And we just ask you to honor their privacy and their boundaries, or else we can't do this as a church to have people come up and get somewhat real. But why don't we close in prayer, and let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for every one of these guys up here. The level of friendships that they have is astounding, and the level of depth that they have. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And I pray that you would help everybody in this place come to a place that they can be authentic, where they can get affirmation and give affirmation, where they can be held accountable and hold others accountable, where they can assist and be assisted. I pray that you'd help us do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.